So Psalm 59, verses 9 through 17, these are God's words. I will wait for you, O you his strength, for God is my defense. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. God shall let me see my desire on my enemies. Do not slay them, lest my people forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride. And for the cursing and lying which they speak, consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be. And let them know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. And at evening they return, they growl like a dog, and go all round the city. They wander up and down for food, and howl if they are not satisfied. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises. For God is my defense, my God of mercy. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So you remember the context, the setting in which the Holy Spirit carried David along to write this prayer, this song. It was when Saul had sent men who were watching the house in order to kill him. And David is interacting, not so much with the men. He sees the men. He knows what they're doing. He's no military slouch, as we learn if we read 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. He's made the guys who are spying on his house. And it helps that they are so brash and arrogant and self-assured in their mission that they do things that aren't terribly bright to do when you're trying to spy, like belch out loud and assure yourself out loud that nobody hears you. Where if David can hear you, then you've got, of course, an infinitely bigger problem, which is the living God can hear you in the first half of the psalm from last week. And we all do well to remember that God always hears. And that's what David is remembering. God doesn't just always hear his enemies, but God always hears him. And so we have begun in the middle of the psalm where he says, I will wait for you, O you his strength. And there are a bunch of the translations and later manuscripts that change his to my because it doesn't make sense. Unless David's hope is bound up in great David's greater son. And the his is Christ. And we know that everything that we have from God by grace, we have in Christ. So everything that God is to Christ, he is to us in Christ. And we rejoice over Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' sonship, Jesus' inheritance, Jesus' spirit, Jesus' life, Jesus' power, Jesus' goodness, all of these that are ours by faith. So he says, I will wait for you, O you, his strength, for God is my defense. My God, my mercy shall come to me. So God is his strength, defense, and mercy. And by the time we finish the selection that we have for our worship today, we hear him saying, I will sing of your power, I will sing of you aloud of your mercy in the morning, verse 16, and then he personalizes these truths, these realities about God. You have been my defense and refuge in the day of my refuge is implied in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy, your God, my mercy. And so David is discovering that one of the reasons that God has put him in this situation is not so that he would be terrified of those who are trying to kill him, but to remind him of whom God has made David to be unto God, and who God has made himself to be unto David. And so there is this mercy that he's receiving of remembering God. And he wants others to have this mercy too. In fact, the fact that his enemies haven't been consumed yet, he assumes now is righteous and good. And as he thinks through, what are some of the reasons why this could be extended? Well, surely part of the reason is so that he could grow in his knowledge of God. There's always a sanctifying aspect to our sufferings and our trials. But there's also a benefit that comes to others. And so he even says in verse 11, "Do not slay them, lest my people forget. Scatter them by your power, and then bring them down, O Lord, our shield." And so he is praying that even in the way that God brings resolution to the trial that he's in and the danger that he's in, the threat that he's under, that even in the way in which God brings that to a conclusion, God would do so in such a way that reminds all of God's people of the truth and reality of God and his wisdom and his justice and his vengeance and his mercy and his deliverance and his strength and his refuge, his being their defense. And so David prays that that these enemies would be made an example of in order that God's people generally would know and worship the Lord, that they would not forget the Lord. And yet he is looking forward to the day when the wicked will be removed entirely from the earth. Consume them in wrath, consume them, that they may not be. Let them know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. The psalm, both in last week's portion in the first half and in this week's portion, just there in verse 13, when he talks about consuming them in wrath, that they may not be, when he said, "You, O Yahweh, shall laugh at them," in verse 8, "you shall have all the nations in derision." He's remembering that there is a final judgment that is coming. So he remembers and sees not only the Lord in his present circumstances, but the judgment that is to come in the last day. Faith lays hold of what is already here and yet invisible, and of what is not yet here but is sure to come because God has said so. Faith takes what the Word of God says and says, "This is more sure than what I can perceive in my circumstances." Faith takes what the Word of God says about the future and says, "I am as certain of this future fact that God has told me about as I am of my present circumstances." And so one of the things that his trial does for him is not only enabling him to lay hold of God himself, but also to be reminded of the necessity of believing what God says more than what we presently seem to experience. Being made to walk, as the scripture says, by faith and not by sight. So, the Lord turns him from waiting for God as his defense and mercy, as his strength, defense, and mercy, verses 9 and 10, to praising God as his defense and strength, defense, and mercy, verse 17, as his defense and refuge, verse 16. So when faith realizes and recognizes God, we don't say, "How can I sing in such circumstances as these?" We say, "Since God has used such circumstances as these to turn my heart to him, how could I not sing the praises of the God who has brought himself again to my attention?" So may the Lord give us to have the Spirit work in our hearts according to these same scriptures, so that when we find ourselves in trouble and trial, it doesn't provoke us to despair or discouragement, but it provokes us to praise. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for how you used David being under siege in his own home as an occasion in which you brought back to his mind and strengthened in his mind and heart that you, O Lord, are his strength, his defense, his mercy. And thank you for reminding us of that in your word this morning. We pray that you would stir up our hearts to praise, that we would see your glory and your praise as the purpose of our lives, and that we would make good use of the opportunities that you give us, even by way of trial, for remembering you and being brought again to praise you. Give us the heart and the lip of praise unto you, O God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.